Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasures,
new
planetary
mind
control, military cover-up,
shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasures, planetary mind control,
unidentified flying
objects,
presidential assassination,
unidentified objects, presidential assassination,
ancient rites,
pyramids,
Freemasons, fascists,
Illuminati,
fascists,
apocalypse,
Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
Scott L.
And this is Doug.
This is Ron.
This is John.
And we are all kind of part of this thing we do every month here on Ghostly Talk, entitled The Discussion on the Recreation of the Philadelphia Experiment, being hosted, I should say, not by Doug and myself, but by Dr. Ron Millione and John Hutchison.
And what we do is we talk about their experimentation in recreating the Philadelphia Experiment, how exciting it is, and how the issues and the problems and the fun and the dreams and the hopes to capture it as a documentary for the whole world to see.
You think 1943 was exciting? You think 1943 was the melting point of physics when people disappeared and the government said it never happened? You haven't seen anything yet. Wait till what we're going to recreate in 2007.
Hollywood, get ready for the biggest and greatest show of your life with Ron and John that will make your hair stand up on end and fly out of your seat.
For more information and for the schedule to hear John and Ron, visit www.ghostlytalk.com.
And if nothing else works, just bring the blowtorch and duct tape.
Why'd you go to that psychic last year?
But that was different. Because he was shot. That was a paranormal event.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
And I'm single-handedly going to bring back the term dig.
Dig.
I dig it.
Oh, dig?
I dig.
That's like so 70s, like, gangster.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, you gotta say it, like, in a sentence of, like, so, yeah, we're gonna go down to the store, dig? Like that. That's, like, really gangster right there.
Oh. Or okay, I'm doing it more hippie-ish.
Well, can you dig it? Can you dig it was actually from Superfly.
I dig it.
Yeah, I dig it. It's even, how about I'm hip? Remember that one?
I won't bring that one
back.
That's
like so like the Monkees.
Yes, I'm not bringing that back, no.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And wow, we have a really cool hour ahead of you guys. I mean, ahead
of
ourselves, ahead of everybody. Yeah, it isn't just us.
This is awesome. We get to talk about ITC again, Instrumental Trance Communication.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
With a former guest,
yeah.
Bro Perkins is coming back, and John Top. You guys have a website now.
Yeah.
I'm geeked. It's www.walkthroughwalls.org.
Well, that's actually, now let me get this correct, John. That's your website. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's really mine. Yeah, I've got a couple of things up from, a couple of audio clips from Bro on there, too.
Okay, cool.
Most of
I couldn't afford to keep mine.
Lost his domain.
I need a few more appearances on Ghostly Talk for
anything. Well, we'll help you out with that. If that's the case, we'll be happy to help out. Well, don't worry. We're going broke too, so don't feel bad, bro.
It's happening to everybody.
Yeah, we're losing our butts, but it's like we're having fun, so it doesn't really matter. Welcome to the show, guys. I know there's a lot we wanted to cover here, and I mean, basically, you know, we're going to do this. You know, the one thing you mentioned to me, John, when we were talking via email and stuff like that, is like I really wanted to talk about how you know, what led to Bro, as in Bro Perkins, and yourself meeting. So let's start with,
yep.
If you want to start there, we can just start discussing that. Because synchronicity is something that I'm really into that. So I love to hear stories of synchronicity. So what happened? I want to know this.
Yeah, I'm really into synchronicity too very much. And I guess Bro should start this part off because it kind of began on his end, and then I came into the picture. So, Bro, you want to sort of set it up?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it actually, more accurately, began on both our ends, but we didn't know about it.
Okay.
And I guess that's why you'd call it a synchronicity, because as you guys know now, I'm a psychic. I do readings in Canada. I'm fairly well known for it, even though I don't advertise or anything like that. But through having appeared on TV a few times, a friend who JT has, that's why I called John, works in the industry, and she ended up through word of mouth coming to me for a reading. And
you mean the web industry, which I worked with this girl in the web industry. So.
Okay.
In the web industry, yeah.
Yeah.
And she works in the web industry, but for the television companies and so on. So she came to me for a reading, and in her reading, I had been, as I said last time in Ghostly Talk, seeing the number 22 everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't just a precog thing or a recognition thing where you get used to a number and so you start to look for it. This was coming up with synchronicities of their own. You'd see the number 22 next to a message. For instance, there was a time, JT will tell you about it later, where he was on the subway, and I had just finished telling the story about Gandhi, and he got on the subway and saw 22, and then next to the 22, there was a Gandhi quote, or if it was the number 7, I don't know. So it would come together like that. And make a long story short, in the reading for the woman I was doing, I told her that you've been seeing the number 22, and I almost didn't believe it was going to be right, but it's such an ambiguous thing to say to someone that if I was wrong, I figured, of course, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But she actually said, her jaw dropped, and she said, yes. But more to the point, my friend, JT, had been seeing it, and he has all these experiences, like he went in for a surgery, and it was the second surgery he had, and the nurse said to him, he's in room number 222, his bed is number 2, and everything on it in the room is with the number 2 on it belongs to him. So there's these things that are happening, right? So, of course, I go home from the reading, from my office, back to the house, and immediately I pull up the email and I write to JT. He's never heard of me before, or he might have heard my name, but he didn't know me. And I said to him, I have information for you about the numbers you've been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it started.
Yeah, bro, was kind of, you were kind of told that you would start meeting other people that would see this number. Is that right?
That's correct. Before the reading, way before this, it had been happening to myself and another friend for months, and I had received messages through my spirit guide, Laren, who you put a picture of on the website last time I was on in the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
That we'd meet a young man. Of course, the dead people, everyone's young who's on Earth. And that he'd be in Toronto, in the greater Toronto area, and that he'd have been having information and things like this coming to him as well through signs. But she still didn't tell me what the numbers meant. Through meeting JT and coming together, and JT's a very technical person, and he's been always very audio-minded. He's into music, but not just any kind of music. I'll let him tell you about that later. But we found out at that time that we met him, I had personally been reading a lot about IPC, and so had Anita. So we put two and two together. There it is again, two and two. And yeah, it's pretty obsessive. But we started working with ITC. We figured maybe that's why we're together. And so one thing led to another, and we got results right away. First experiment. Yeah. People try EVP for years. We were getting strong results immediately. It changed our lives at the time, too.
For the listeners out there, the photo you mentioned, bro, concerning this person or this entity named Laren, that's actually up on the Ghostly Talk site still. That's going to stay up there forever. And that's over in our photo gallery. If you go to the focus photos section, which is on the very bottom of the gallery there, you'll look for the July 16th, 2006 focus photo. And it's a Bro Perkins focus photo. It's called Laren.
Now, I'm going to get a scan of that, and I'm going to try to scan the negative, too, to send you the proper picture so that you get way more detail.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'll put that up, too.
Coming off of her.
Yeah, we'll put that up there, too, whatever you'd like. It's not a problem. We'll replace it with that one if you send that over to us, bro.
For sure.
So, okay, this is how you guys hooked up, and you guys have been doing work with ITC ever since then. Am I correct?
That's right.
And this is now. This is kind of like a chain of events. I mean, obviously, we're seeing how this comes together and how weird it is. This is what I'm always like, oh God, you know, it's strange how things kind of fall together like that.
When they're spelled out for you, and they're, because most people who get synchronicities, they just get the synchronicity and then they go, oh, this is weird. We were getting the synchronicity, and then we were getting messages.
Mm-hmm.
From outside of us, telling us what it was. And not just through ITC. In our meeting, we were wandering around Toronto the first night we met and fell into a cafe last minute. It was pretty late. Nothing was open. We walked into the cafe called The Only Cafe, and we sat right in the corner, and we looked up, and there was pictures of saints all around us and a wooden plaque that said, "Miracles are real to those who believe." And this was the dingiest little bar you'd ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I could maybe give you a little more clarity on how the 22s went on my end as well before I even met Bro. So what had been happening for probably, I don't know, a month before I met him was I've always been conscious, like you're saying, Scott, of synchronicities, and then people kind of make fun of me because I'm, you know, I sort of say, like, oh, that's a weird coincidence, isn't it? You know, and then I started getting this wave of synchronicities happening on a daily basis. Not at this point involving 22 or anything, but but every day there'd be this strange thing that would happen where I just, it was the most, it was like a coincidence, but times 10. It was just the complexity of it and the details that I would, you know, see one thing and then I would, a couple hours later, see something on TV that would link back to the first thing, and it was kind of blowing my mind a bit. And I actually started to blog them because I thought these are almost like little works of art unto themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I thought what a shame it would be to just let them pass and forget, right? So they were so complex that I thought they needed to be recorded.
John, hold right there for one sec. Didn't I just mention?
Yeah, you. I look. We both looked at each other when you
blog
said that,
your blog those weird things that you noticed just in the last half hour.
Yeah, we were just talking. We were just talking about that. It's kind of funny, you guys.
I said because the guest the guest before you he kept a log of all the things that that he thought his son was telling him, sending coincidences, sending synchronicities. And,
oh, really?
And I said, well, there's no excuse anymore because for letting these things go because we've got technology and you can blog these things.
Exactly.
Yes.
Not even a half hour later, you're mentioning blogging your synchronicities. Interesting.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah,
he was doing it before it was digged, too. He was doing it.
Well, I think it was only a year and a half ago, actually.
Well, being in the industry, of course.
Of course. I'm up on all the latest.
You're on all the latest stuff.
There you go.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
No,
that's okay.
You were blogging.
No, I YouTube all my synchronicities. No, I'm just kidding. Blogging, I guess, had been around for a bit at that point. But, I mean, even before blogging, I think we had paper and pen, right? So
That came around, I think, after the wheel.
There was, I think
it somewhere around there. The blogging adds an
fire. Because
everybody can see it, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But one thing that happened was just as an example of one of these. One day, my friend at work said, "I've been asked to babysit for this guy, and I don't know if you guys have heard of this. It's a Canadian kids' book called Jacob Tutu and the Hooded Fang."
No, but it sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
I know a hooded fang.
No, you do, eh?
There is somebody. Hang on, I'll whisper it to Scott, and he'll know exactly. We know a hooded fang. Somebody who we would describe as
can't say it over the air, we'll get sued.
Right. But we do know this person.
We'll tell you later.
He would describe as a hooded fang.
Right.
Can't wait for
perfectly.
Cool. So, so this book, Jacob Tutu, of course, has the 2-2 in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, I've been asked to babysit for this guy who is actually... he's actually the real-life inspiration for the character of Jacob Tutu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so his dad actually wrote the book. And the character's based on him. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. And then I get home that day, and my mom emails me, and she knew I was keeping this sort of record of coincidences and so on, right? And she goes, I had a funny coincidence involving the novel Catch-22 today. And I'm thinking, oh, that's weird, 22, and then... Jacob Tutu and everything.
Yeah.
And, she had a coincidence involving that. So she had her own coincidence where she heard something on the radio, Catch 22, went home, opened up a magazine, and there was a quote from, like, I don't know, Joseph Heller who wrote Catch 22 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, that's neat. And then later on, I'm talking back to the woman who was doing the babysitting for Jacob Tutu, and she says, oh, I'm reading Catch 22. Right? And then...
Wow.
And then so I'm like, okay, this is starting to get neat here. Yeah, and then it just kind of kept rolling, and it was involving that either 2 or 22, right? Or even 222. And so I'm starting to get sort of pummeled by these numbers, and I'm just thinking, because before I'd been having coincidences, but it wasn't involving a specific number or anything specific. It was just a coincidence about something or other, right? But this was a consistent theme and kept going. And so I'm literally where I'm like, why? Why is this happening?
What was that, bro?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, JT is talking about the big things, but do you remember, JT, it's not like it ever slowed down. You would see this throughout the day on the clock.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It did get to a point, yeah. Yeah, where we would just
get
both
sick
of
the number. I thought it was going to vomit. Really, seriously, it was like being haunted. It really was. I'm not even kidding. It was
like someone was pestering us.
It's like your VCRs are flashing 2:22 instead of 12 o'clock. And, I mean, just everything and it's like, wow, this is over.
Yeah, you see it all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, And then, yeah, suddenly I got this email from Bro one day saying, oh, by the way, I know why you're seeing those numbers. And so that's pretty freaky. That would be enough to kind of... It kind of freaks you out a little bit.
Well, that's how it all came together then, was on both ends.
That's how it came together.
John, what were you interested in before this? I mean, you were blogging about coincidences and synchronicities, but were you into ghosts? Were you into legends, folklore?
Well, very much interested in paranormal for a long time, and very much interested specifically in communication with the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Although I hadn't really found a specific way to do that. In my opinion, my coincidences and synchronicities and things were a form of being communicated to by the other side. And also, like Bro said, I'm musical, and to me, music's always been a way that I feel sometimes with music you can be guided if you're composing something, and maybe there's sort of a hidden hand involved. In the last few years I've been doing electronic music. Before that I've played, you know, guitar and bass and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
If you listen, JT sent me his songs and some of his music, and it sounds like you're listening to ITC or EVP. It's almost like he was born or hardwired into this. It's funny because he told me a story how when he was a little boy he used to carry a tape recorder around.
I used to leave it around the house and tape people and stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of weird, but not in the bathroom or anything.
But
when you look back, you see these things that maybe you think, oh, maybe that was sort of a precursor to ITC in some way or whatever. But yeah, I've had people say that they've listened to my music before I even got into ITC. They listen to it now and they think, some of your sounds that you make remind me of the ITC work. Like sometimes it sounds like there's a voice when in fact there's no actual vocals in the song.
Uh-huh.
Like one track I did, I was using some samples like percussion and so on, and literally after I did the track, the track was very randomly done. I just kind of going through and clicking around and just sort of not really trying to do anything specific. And then I listened to it later, and you hear these. It's almost like a chant, like a Native American sounding chant or something in the song, and there were actually no vocal samples in it at all. So I don't think that it's actually ITC in the sense that something sort of came in and got imprinted on the track that I was doing. I think it's more the confluence of the sounds I was using happened to produce that.
Well, yeah.
But I do think there's something a little bit more than me just clicking around going on, right? I think there's perhaps some guidance there.
Well, and music itself can have a droning effect on you. I mean, I've personally experienced that. I'm kind of in the same arena you are, John. Mm-hmm. I've done composing and all that stuff in the past. And you do kind of get, you know, there are those times where you do get into that next level where you kind of feel like you're coming out of yourself a little bit and then coming back once you're done. So,
Yeah, definitely.
It does have that effect on you. And then, you know, the one thing I found interesting, too, concerning music, and this is, you know, I think we're going to talk about Brian later on here, too, Brian Jones, is I never really realized this. And I mean, maybe, and I don't take me the wrong way on this, because it's definitely part of the conversation, but, you know, Brian has played us some things in the past, and I mentioned it too. And he'd be like, "Well, listen to this," because Brian's a guitar player also, right? And he played guitar. He sent us samples and stuff and said, "You know, here I played this riff, and when you play it back, you can actually hear somebody saying something." And I'm like, "Well, that's very interesting. That's very, I mean, really, it's very interesting." But at the same time, it's like, okay, look, could that be a bit of an issue with matrixing? Could you be listening a little? Yeah, could you really be listening to,
I hear what you're saying. I heard a clip of Brian's the other day. Actually, the clip that he sent me, I think is real. I understand what you're saying. Especially if you, music, you can have so many different ways sound can change, and certainly you could get something that sounds like a voice. I think what he actually has happening is a real thing.
I think also, though, that Brian, in particular, lives with ITC every day.
Well, that's right.
I think every minute of every day, he and ITC are constant companions. And unfortunately, it makes those of us who don't live and breathe ITC, it makes it more challenging for us to hear the things that he can hear just naturally.
Yeah, a lot of the time when I have it happen too, I can play stuff to somebody and they have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. So we get good at hearing stuff for sure.
Right,
and
someone else,
I mean,
that's it. That's exactly it. Can I open up the spectrum here for a second?
Sure.
Go right ahead.
We're not just talking about spirits communicating with us. We're talking about as if spirits are nebulous and floating around all the time like ghosts. There has to be a tremendous amount of intention coming from a very specific place in order for a being from another dimension to communicate with our dimension. So if with that, if you buy what I'm saying now, and we believe that there's some kind of group of spirits on the other side, and then you research Mark Macy and these other people who come, who talk about, like Sonia Rinaldi, who talk about Time Stream Station, a group of thousands of spirits who, some of them lived on Earth, Albert Einstein, artists, composers, who are now a part of a group of spirits whose mission is to contact us on Earth. Now, this may be a stretch for some listeners who are just into the beginning to research this kind of thing or just interested in the paranormal in general, but if you really get into deep research the way we did with our group here in Toronto, you start to see that this is coming from a real place, not just a nebulous kind of phenomena that we can tap into by quirk or coincidence.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what you were asking earlier, Doug, if I can play a mind reader or whatever, if I think I am. But when you asked JT what he was interested in before this, can I ask you, did you have a thought of how you could get into it or how the listener can kind of start to have these kinds of experiences?
What I do, and unfortunately that's not abnormal for me. I do like to establish a rapport with a guest, and one not just for me, but also for all the listeners. So I think that John's probably not... while he's a unique individual, I think that other people may be going through similar experiences.
Yeah.
And those kinds of people are the kinds of people who will find Ghostly Talk. So
that's great.
So in order for them to hear and listen to what John and you are saying, they want a connection of something. And so that's why I asked what he was into. And that's why I was really happy to hear about the music. And yes, ghosts or you know, spirits were interesting, and the tape recorder. And because, you know, there's going to be other individuals out there who are at various stages of development
They might say, oh, that I perceive things in that way. Or, you know,
I know a kid who is... just like that, you know, maybe he needs to hear this show. So,
and the thing I want to say, all of that just to say that I think the common denominator, no matter what level or where you are at with terms of interest or development with this kind of work, is I find, and I don't know, have you found this too? You and Scott, Doug, have done so many shows with people, and you've met and spoken personally with some great people like Mark Macy. But there's so many people who are into the creative side of life. There's definitely a creation aspect that ties into this kind of work, I find, and an artistic one at that, too. I don't know. I just see that with my work, too, as a psychic medium. I find a lot of psychic people tend to hang out with artists.
And I'm also I look for it. I look for any sign of creativity, any sign of budding experimentation, budding creativity, budding, you know, ghost hunting. I don't know. Just anything like that. When a young person or even an older person suddenly takes an interest in this topic, in spirituality or in ghost hunting or in, you know, psychic development or in ITC, suddenly gets this interest. And then it becomes consuming. It becomes a very, very prominent interest, a hobby, if you will. I love that, and I think that that's a budding idea. It's something that's growing. And I look for that everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So all in conclusion, we're not weird.
I don't feel like the host anymore. I feel like the guest.
Well, Grill's done this before.
Yes,
last time Grill was here, he came on this show and grilled us for an hour as opposed to us, you know asking the questions. You know what? That's I like that, though. I like to think a little bit on this show sometimes, so we appreciate it.
Please have me back. I'm so lonely. I've been sitting here since July. Waiting for you to call.
Oh, no.
Well, we're here. It took us a little while, but we're
you
here,
need
bro.
Skype.
You need Skype. Well, here's... I don't know if you guys want to do this or not yet, but I know there's a lot we wanted to cover. There are... John, you sent me a lot of samples, work samples, field samples you guys have been working on.
Yeah,
did you want to go through some of these right now?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, why don't we go through?
Now, I have these separated exactly how you sent them to me, too, so we can, it'll be easier for us to go through them. I have them each by folder, so you just tell me what folder you want and what file you want or whatever, and I'll pull it right out for you, okay?
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, basically what happened with Bro and I was he introduced me to ITC and Mark Macy's website and worldITC.org and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had sort of vaguely heard of EVP through the White Noise movie. I never saw the movie, but I'd heard of it, and I had read a couple of
books. It was big news at the time.
It was big news.
Yeah,
about on talk shows.
Well, do not watch it.
Oh,
yeah, just, don't.
It'll contaminate any experience you've had so far.
It's a waste of a couple hours.
Okay, can I lob a little synchronicity into this one, too?
Sure, go ahead.
I don't know, you might make some of it, you might not, but... The actress who plays the wife in White Noise, Chandra West, went to high school with her.
Oh, did
wow.
you?
In the same grade in high school, yeah.
Well,
but
she's...
But found this out during the time of our coincidences. All this stuff, like the Jacob Tutu and stuff, was specifically around the time of the 22s, which says a lot in and of itself if you're a statistician, like if you really do math and think of odds.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
That's just kind of a funny thing.
All right, well, sorry, we didn't mean to jump all over you about White Noise.
We're okay with her, by the way. We're her taking that
Michael
job.
Keaton.
She had such a teeny little itty bitty role. She right away.
Yeah.
But the the whole idea of that poor movie. I'm
not even interested in seeing it because to me it's just scaremongering. It scares people away from it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. Sorry, we didn't mean to jump all over you.
Yeah, no problem. So Bro started doing some EVP. He told me, yeah, I've been planning to try out this ITC stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm all over that. Let's do it. And he tried an EVP. This was like a week after we met or something, and he got voices right away. So, because in the back of my mind, I've been thinking, oh, I'd like to try EVP, but I'm just picturing hours and hours of listening back to static and, nothing.
That sounds like what we get.
Yeah.
That's what we get. Hours.
Kind of like what you guys do. Yeah.
We're not very good at it.
We're not good at it yet.
Yeah. But, so then I think that was kind of stopping me from actually trying it. And then just what I thought it would happen, I thought it would be really boring and just take a year to get anything.
Uh-huh.
And then Bro tried to get something right away. And I'm like, oh my God, that's incredible. And then I went home, started trying it. And then I got something.
Right
away too. So, and then after that it was, it was all over for me, right? So, at that point I think I was working from home, which was, so I had a little extra time.
Yeah. Sounds like you had your job, Scott.
Yeah, and unfortunately my
job.
Yeah.
I just have to hide the screen when my wife walks in, that's all, So I was able to spend a little bit of time to kind of kickstart it. Right now I can't spend as much time on it, but I've got two kids and I've got a full-time job, but I can sustain it, right?
Uh-huh.
Bro got some voices. What was on your first EVP, Bro? It was a doctor or something.
Very strange. I don't know my family very well. I'm not like John Edward, the psychic in the States, who gets angry at his guests for not knowing what I mean, because when I'm sitting with a client and I'm saying, you have a grandfather named Joe, and they don't understand what I'm talking about, I don't get angry at them because I don't know what my grandparents or great-grandparents' names are and things like this.
Uh-huh.
And that's just ignorance. But my father, I never knew his extended family, and his grandmother and his grandfather came through to me. And the woman who spoke to me said, tell John I say hello, I love him, and I'm with his papa. And it sounds general enough to anyone else listening, but I don't call my grandparents Papa. I call them Jerkface, is my step-granddad.
Wow. Okay.
Andy. Well, it's a complicated story. I love them, though, with affection.
Yeah, but when you said John, you meant...
his grandfather Papa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I relayed that to them, and that was one message. I also asked for my grandfather to come, my mother's grandfather to come through, because I did know him, and he had been speaking to me since I was five, from the spirit world. And he said, Hans is here, and I heard a German accent, and he was German, and Hans was his name. So my grandfather came through. So it was a particularly emotional event for me to have such personal messages come through the first time. But then, if you think it's going to be personal, you're sadly mistaken. The rest of it, EVP-wise, ITC-wise, was completely... literally out of this world. Nothing personal about it. We got messages from everything, including aliens.
Oh,
wow.
I hope we have some of those here with us today.
We got messages from aliens?
Well, I mean in the folders, not like with us here.
Yeah.
I see EVP.
Yeah, well, there's I guess
I don't see interstellar.
I don't see alien. like I said, we do have a bunch of folders here. Where did you guys want to start at?
So why don't we, okay, we'll go through one of the EVPs. I think the first personal EVP I got, there's one there called Let's Talk John.
Yeah, okay, I got that. All right, you want me to play this one?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Are they going to be able to hear it? Do you have that turned on?
Yeah, they should be able to hear it. Yeah.
I might have the level really cranked up on it. I'm not sure. But
don't worry. Our eardrums will cave in.
Yeah, okay. We're all used right. to that.
We're used to that. Here we go.
Cool.
Let's play it one more time, all right?
Yep.
All right, now, let me just say something here about this one, all right? I didn't. Nobody. Well, okay. I guess we are a bit. Let me take that back. Because you do have the. You know, this thing is called Let's Talk John. But
you were front loaded.
I was front loaded. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I heard it clearly, though. I heard it clearly, though. It's right in there. Did you hear it, Doug?
No.
All right. Let's play it one more time.
Oh, in the middle there.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Okay.
And it's really clear, too.
It is.
Now, tell us a little bit about this. I mean, we were talking a little bit about this. It's a 3-second clip. So, I mean, what were you guys doing? Where were you at?
That was just me in my kitchen with the laptop, and I was just recording on the built-in mic on the laptop in the middle of the day. And I actually heard it at the time of recording, too.
Oh, you did?
I'm pretty sure. Some of them I do hear at the time of recording. If I'm monitoring it on headphones, and I'm pretty sure that one came through.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, that happens sometimes. And that's it. So I listen back. I'm like, oh my gosh, all right. And you can hear my fork clanging on my plate. I think in there too.
Let's play it over the bridge.
So you literally take ITC and EVP experiments while you eat.
Yes, awesome. It's multitasking.
Awesome. That's a great tip for folks.
Well, that's why I've always loved doing EVP work or ITC work, because a lot of times you can smoke, you can eat whatever you want.
You're at the bar.
There you go. You know what I mean?
They're watching you.
JT did lie. He actually has taken the tape recorder into the bathroom.
Again, it's multitasking.
Yeah. He's been taking ITC, and that was a flush. Okay.
Oh.
Excellent.
Let's play it one more time, just for the listening audience. Here we go.
Okay.
I hear it in there. Very monotone.
Yeah.
Talk
now, who I now think that was actually a woman called Penelope, because I think I've heard from her multiple times now.
I was going to mention that I thought it's a female.
Oh, it sounds
voice.
Female.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally female.
Yeah, yeah. And I think she's someone that's maybe sort of special to me in some way, and I'm still trying to figure out exactly what our relationship is, but it might be similar to what Bro has with Laren.
Mm-hmm.
Are you spiritual guide? Spirit guide, right? Yeah.
Someone you didn't know in life.
What was that?
Someone you didn't know in life, but someone who watches over
right.
you, coin a term.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I've never known anyone by the name Penelope, but I believe that's who this is. And,
okay.
Yeah, so, and I've heard her same voice in other clips as well, so.
Interesting.
Did you want to move on to another EVP clip?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, maybe we should jump to some of the radio stuff. I think that's some of the most interesting stuff, and we won't have time to go through a lot of this, but.
Yeah, I understand.
I started experimenting with shortwave radio, probably a couple months after the EVP started.
All right.
And, so I just started by turning it on and letting it run on static, and then I started hooking up antennas to it and so on.
Is this a shortwave radio that receives...
It's a little portable, shortwave radio.
Okay.
My wife happened to buy me one at that time, which was kind of cool. So, I would sort of get voices within the static. I would hear them.
Okay.
Nothing super clear. Then after a while, I guess it was probably, this was probably November 05, I started getting a buzzing sound, a buzzing voice coming through.
All right.
And this is something I've heard from a number of other researchers, including a couple that I'm in touch with right now, just from the last week or so that I've met online.
All right.
And Mark Macy has also described that he had that for a while on the radio. It's kind of like a robotic voice, like a voice there's sort of a droning tone, and like then of course kind of modulating that. It's like Spearcom. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like Spearcom, but it's the tone's coming through the radio. You're not broadcasting it as a Spearcom. It's all coming through from the other side.
Okay.
Is
there one in particular? Because there's a
lot
of files.
Yeah, sure. Well, what we could do is I'll play you. Let me see. Okay, so this is after some noise reduction. Now, just keep in mind, it doesn't sound like this clear when it's coming out of the radio.
Uh-huh.
It's afterwards I manipulated, used noise reduction with it.
Okay.
Now, let me find a good one here. there's a few here. I got a lot with the word universe in them for some reason.
I see that.
I like to use that word, yeah. There's one called I Will Change Your Universe. Let me try that one.
I have that right here. Hang on for 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to play this. Here we go, guys.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
The Slasher sounded pretty cool.
First of all, it's beautiful.
Well, yeah, it is.
It's
beautiful.
It's absolutely beautiful.
It's a beautiful sound. I mean, and that's from the noise reduction.
Right,
I mean,
that's from the noise reduction.
It does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll play you also a raw clip of what it sounds like before noise reduction. But afterwards, yeah, you hear it is beautiful, and it's almost musical because they have this sort of root it ties right in with music. There's kind of a drone going through the whole thing, and then the voice kind of alternates. If you know anything about music theory, it sort of alternates through like major thirds and
perfect
fifths.
And it goes back to the root note too. It's all based under the root
note. So it's basically cycling through different notes in kind of a major scale. It's always in the major scale. It's never minor, and it's always quite beautiful. And I don't know yet exactly who it is, but it's very different from what you might get in EVP or something, obviously.
Let's play it one more time, because that really sounded pretty cool.
Sure.
That's the note. I mean, I don't know. I can't do it by brain, but
that's
the root note, though. I mean, that's... And you do hear... Let's play it one more time, because that's just a really cool clip.
Yep.
I like it. Actually, that last note is really nice. It's a real beautiful harmony, actually. I'm really kind of hooked on it.
It is, and it's very consistent. It's always like that. It's like they're, I don't know how they're communicating this stuff, but they have some kind of system, device, or whatever, and they transmit their voice through it as opposed to sending plain voice.
When you're listening, you're listening to just static, right? How do you pick out these?
You can hear the tone, and then you can hear the change in the tone, and it sounds like there's a voice sort of underneath it.
Okay.
What I do is, why don't we play a bit of what it sounds like raw?
Well, hey, Bro, did you want to say something?
Well, I wanted to say that you have to keep in mind, when any normal person, well, we're all normal, but when you play the static on the radio... It's just static on the radio when you're between stations, and that's what JT had been doing. He had been sitting down here for months in his little makeshift ITC studio.
Uh-huh.
We called it the lab, and Anita and I showed up one night to do an experiment with him in person, and the light bulb that lit the room turns off by itself. The radio is just playing static, and then comes through this drone, this tone of like what you were hearing in that noise reduced clip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere, and it would surge, and almost, it's like it was words, like a robot talking to you, and it would be quiet when we talked to it, and then it would talk back to us. We could ask
I've had, sound. Yeah, we've actually had two-way dialogue. Actually, there's a clip of two-way dialogue you should probably play.
Which one is that?
Well,
did you want to play the raw form of what we just heard?
Okay, let's do that.
Let's do that first, and then we'll play the other clip.
Okay, there's a folder, not the radio folder, it's called Radio Comparison.
Absolutely.
Because I've got some clips from other people, too, just to show the similarity.
All right, which one do you...
The one called John.
Okay, all right, I'll
play that one. Okay.
This is a comparison file for the one we just listened to, right?
Well, no, it's not that same one, but it's just to show you what it sounds like.
Okay, all right, okay.
Before I use any noise reduction.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Okay, is it 46 seconds of just that?
Yes.
All right.
Stop and start.
I get it.
Yeah, I don't want to do 50 seconds of... That'll blow.
Who puts their radio on and hears that? I've never heard that.
Well, you do hear like that. You hear like...
Okay, but that's a good question, bro, because now I've heard other people getting the same thing. So yeah. That's why I've got these different folders here, so the different files. So if you go to the one that says Laura,
yeah,
I just met Laura online just 2 days ago.
Okay.
And so why don't you play the Laura one?
Okay, this is a 2 minute file. Is there a certain area?
Oh, just jump to the middle of it.
Okay.
If you can.
Yeah, sure,
okay.
No problem.
Play a bit of that. Yeah. Here.
Yeah, man. Is that Laura talking to it?
No. Oh, yeah. You can hear Laura, I think, in the background.
Yeah,
there.
You can hear her talking.
Okay,
that's
so
a human being.
Talking. But then the robot voice is something that she's
It's like
getting.
A didgeridoo. Yeah. So that, what did that voice sound like to you? Could you hear any sort of vocal type of sounds in there?
It did sound like it was making vocalizations.
Well, it's a very low vibrational rate, so it's like, it's in metamorphosis, of what... our beautiful voices we have on Ghostly Talk have, right? It's obviously a slow vibrational rate, but you can hear phrases or words being
formed.
Does
she do the same thing as you do where you just have the radio on and you've got a recorder going?
Yeah, her setup's a little different, I think. I'm not sure if she's using shortwave, but she's using a radio, and she's getting the stuff coming right out of her radio, right?
Yeah.
As am I. And also this other fellow, Keith, in California, Keith Clark. Now, what's interesting, and I just realized this yesterday when I was comparing these files, they're all at the same note, right? So so that drone is the same, exact same note for all three of us.
Well, wait a minute. You know what? I can compare. If you don't mind, I'd like to compare that real quick, because I can do that real fast here. I'm going to play that original clip we just played a few minutes ago, all right?
Yeah.
That's this one right here. Okay. And then I'm going to go to the Laura file again, all right, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay, just to compare, all right,
just because
we're, just kind of, just bopping heads right now,
audibly
in my brain, and I think obviously in your brain too, Jeff, those are very close to the same root note. To actually figure out what the root note is, you could scope it and figure out what the root note is. But those two notes, for people out there listening, I played both those clips and I actually kind of hummed on the first one a little bit, like the actual root note. But you're right. As far as these two clips are concerned, that's not a huge population for statistical analysis, but it'd be interesting to go through more clips and listen to see, if the same root note's the same.
Yeah. She sent me four or five clips. They're all the same root note.
Uh-huh.
I'd have to. No, I haven't done a huge statistical check or anything.
Oh
But the fact that even with the small number of clips that we're getting the same note and these voices coming through it indicates to me that there's some sort of consistent effort going on the other side.
Well, that or there's an ethereal tone that you have to mimic if you want. Now I'm really reaching, okay?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying this note we're talking about, and I'm not trying to dun, 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 like make a big bunch of drama here, but it's an interesting idea and thought pattern that this note we're talking about could be the root note that you need for two-way communication possibly, or communication from the other side. I am very interested in this because of my musical background and just understanding notes and music and tones and things like that. It really intrigues me.
Speaking of two-way.
Yeah.
That was also mentioned.
You actually mentioned two-way conversation, John.
Right.
Where is that actually at in the folders?
Yeah, if you go back into the radio folder, let me just see which one would be the best here.
It's not the one where they told me I talk too much, is it, John?
I do have one actually. There's one where they tell bro, you're talking too much.
All right, which one we got? Which one we got?
There's one called Say Radio.
Say Radio,
Yeah. Now, I tell them to say radio, and then there's a bit of a pause, and then at the end they say radio. And it's quiet, but it's there.
All right, let's give it a listen.
Yep.
Hang on for one second.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say... Can you try to say radio?
And there was a spike. You could hear the... I mean, I could... I'm picturing the spike in the audio.
Yeah, if you're able to do that, can you isolate that last bit and play it, or...
Yeah, yeah, hang on, I can do that.
Yeah, okay.
Can you say...
I clipped
the
little
too far.
No,
you can't do it.
Yeah, I can do it, I can do it.
There we go.
Yeah, right there on the end. I'll play it one more time.
Okay.
Can you say...
It sounds like, you know, like one of those... Oh, man, it's a bad... I hear what you're talking about. It's like one of those bad 80s rap songs that, you know...
That's what it is. It's a vocoder.
Yeah,
A vocoder, right? Like Peter Frampton uses or whatever.
Exactly.
Where you're taking the formant of the voice and applying it over another sound.
Mm-hmm.
Or formant or whatever the hell it's called.
It's monotone.
It's very monotone.
You can't hear the tones very well.
Let me play it one more time in its entirety for everybody, just so they get an idea of what's going on here.
Can you say... Can you try to say radio?
Yeah, it's right there on the end. You hear.
Yeah, it's not that clear, but I think you'd probably have to sit down with headphones or something to hear it properly.
Well, thankfully we have those on.
We have headphones. You guys have headphones. Oh, that's good.
We're in good shape, so we can hear it.
Very early too. I mean, we're at a stage. I'd say if there were stages up to 10, we were probably at stage 3 at that point. You get to a point where you're getting voice coming through as clear as you and I talking to each other, and we actually got phone calls and things like that where very clear voices came through.
I do see a phone folder here. Did you guys want to?
Yeah, that is interesting. Bro has an interesting phone message. You guys actually played it when Bro was on before.
Oh, did we?
Play it now. Yeah, the voice that came through on my phone. And they left a message at the same time they were playing with Anita's phone, another one of our peers. And it says, all of history is what I hear. And it's in a kind of accent, like a German accent or whatever.
Yeah, it's sort of European.
I'll play it. I got it right here. Let me play it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it again. All of history!
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what you hear. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do remember that now, bro. We did play that last time when you were on. I do remember that now.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And it's interesting because you can say, oh, well, that could be just someone talking on his answering machine. But the guy sounds like he's swallowed helium, right, which is typical of a lot of EDP and ITC voices where they're sped up. And so if you slow that clip down, it actually sounds more like a regular voice.
That's right.
Well, yeah. And I think the reason, I mean, we've discussed that a little bit before, the reason for that speed that you hear a lot of these voices at is quite simply that the energy output to do something like this is very high. It takes a lot of work for them to do that. So you got to get what you got. You want to get your message out as soon as as quick as possible before you run out of energy, more or less. That's really the idea behind it, I think.
Right.
I think it's also because they're at a higher vibrational rate. So their molecular structure and the physics in the afterlife of how that world works, I think, is faster than the speed of light compared to our world.
You're at a higher vibrational level, theoretically speaking. That's why,
it's like listening to Alvin and the Chipmunks, almost.
We only have a couple of minutes left, right?
Man.
Yeah. So if Bro was going to sort of wrap it up, we were saying...
They planned the call.
They planned these guys. You guys are much more organized than we are.
Yes, you are. Usually we're like, oh my gosh, there's only a couple minutes left. What are we going to
do?
Exactly.
We'll be doing Ghostly Talk next week, everyone.
Excellent.
Well, that's Doug. No. I was going to say that I think what I wanted to wrap up was, or at least put out there, was that I think the reason behind these kind of things happening, and our group is not special at all, because there's, I think, hundreds of groups like this coming together and people coming together around the world right now in Europe and Mexico and all different places. Russia is a big place. Russia we're going to hear about as being huge in paranormal development for the next 7 years.
Really?
But February, something important is going to happen in the world of ITC. It's something Macy and all the greats have been waiting for. I can tell you that Montague Keane, a man who is a great psychical researcher, is going to be involved in that from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And groups like ours are going to band together in the future and create one great organization that will deal with the research of this kind of thing and bring all different kinds of perspectives to the table, almost mirroring whatever group is on the other side. In other words, when we have two groups of thousands of people from both dimensions connecting, we make a bridge. And the world will never be the same. People won't believe in death the same way. Mothers and people who have been departed from their children dying and so forth will be able to talk to each other again, which changes the world inevitably in a way that most people don't realize.
God, that was
and
deep, bro.
It is deep. Very profound.
But you know what? And I think that's what a lot of people are envisioning with this, is that there's a lot of people out there, including myself, that believe that there really is something weird. I mean, something not, I don't want to say weird, but there's something out of the ordinary, out of the normal happening with this stuff. We've heard things. A lot of times, we've all heard stuff. We've had our personal experiences. And that's the vision, I think. I think that's a wonderful, beautiful vision for the future of ITC, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's just what I see.
Excellent. So we'll keep our eyes on John's website.
Yeah.
It's www.walkthroughwalls.org. That's THRU. In the middle
right.
there.
Yeah.
All run together, walk through walls. Of course, it's linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Absolutely.
And we'll hopefully we'll get updates. So evidently, we're going to have you on in February when the big thing breaks with Montague.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Or maybe when we realize that it happened. So that might be March or April.
Call Bro and John right now and get them on the show.
But you guys, anybody who's experimenting and getting results with ITC, I highly encourage interacting with Bro and John and Brian and all the ITC researchers.
Yeah,
it's actually starting to happen for the first time since I've been doing ITC that I've known of. There's this website called itcbridge.com by Keith, set up by Keith Clark.
Keith Clark,
yeah. Earlier,
yeah.
And he's created a forum, and the forum's really taking off, and there's just in the last week or two, there's been a whole bunch of ICC. Like Brian Jones is now on there.
Good.
And Kimberly, sorry, what was her name? I can't remember. Sorry. the one whose clip I played before, Laura
yeah.
Kimberly.
Okay.
She's now on there. And a bunch of people that are getting pretty solid results are going to start, you know, we're starting to come together and, you know, maybe we'll sort of sync up some experiments and start to interact. And that may, you know, that may yield different results.
Well, I believe that's what we need. Guys, we have to go to break, though, unfortunately. Stay on the line for 1 second, if you guys don't mind. Ghostly Talk. I love talking about ITC.
Oh, it's one of my favorite topics. You guys, also, during the breaks, independent music. We skipped the last break because we were talking about ITC.
And so that usually results in us skipping a break.
Yeah, we apologize for skipping the break, but it was so interesting.
Yes.
And but it's all independent music. Give it a listen.
Give it a listen. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
We'll be right back after this.